Hi, Year 11s. This is Mr. Shirley again. I've been asked to do a podcast on gender in Macbeth because it seems to be one of the themes people are not too sure about. So for this question, you need to know about the gender roles and gender expectations of men and women in the Elizabethan era. So traditionally, there's a couple things you need to look at. Traditionally, women were looked at as being more emotional than men, and men were believed to be more rational. I mean, if you've ever heard the really sexist stereotype that men have bigger brains than women, or they're smarter than women, that's where that comes from. The idea that women are more emotionally driven, and men are more rationally driven. And nowadays we know that's not true, that we both have an emotional and a rational side to our brain. But in the Elizabethan era, that was one of the basic beliefs they had about the differences between men and women. There's a couple of reasons that's important. First, you could talk about Macbeth and how his emotions, how he is emotional, much more so than Lady Macbeth, especially at the start of the play. If you remember, at the end of Act 1, Scene 7, right before he's about to go... Oh, no, sorry. Act 2, Scene 1, my bad. Right before he's about to go kill Macbeth... Or Duncan, jeez. Right before Macbeth is about to go kill Duncan, sorry, he says that words too cold to the heat of deeds are... basically saying, that's not the exact quote, but the basic quote is that his words are cold to the heat of deeds. I'm doing air quotes there. The idea that his emotions are cooling off the action that he should be doing as a man. And this really reflects the way that at the start of the play, he's really tentative. He's really hesitant to follow through with the murder of Duncan. That might be seen as a womanly thing to be worried and emotional, but it's also something that can be interpreted as, you know, the fact that Macbeth has a sense of his morals about him, which is much easier to say. But you could also say that he's exhibiting womanly features, which would not be typical for a powerful man, and make the audience kind of question him and his stature as a powerful man. This can obviously be linked to the way that, more explicitly, Lady Macbeth really questions his manhood and challenges him. And it's really important that you remember that that's on the fact that he said he would do it, that he doesn't. That's what she disagrees with, that a strong man should say something and then do it. She says that she would pluck the baby from her nipple if she had said she would do it. She's not saying that she likes to kill babies. Not saying that. She's saying, if I said I would do it. Making her seem more, much more, maybe in a weird way, loyal character, but much more powerful and certain masculine character. Men would have been believed to not have emotions clouding their decisions. A rational decision would be made. Like she says, if I said I would pluck the baby from my nipple and dash its brains out, she would do it. And the questioning of Macbeth's manhood is also seen later when he sees Banquo, and Lady Macbeth says that he is unmanned by these visions that she doesn't really believe in. The irony of this, is that later in the play, she starts to imagine things. She imagines the blood on her hands and says, "Out, damn spot." So on the one hand, you could talk about the questioning of Macbeth's character. I'm sorry, his masculinity is there to make the audience doubt his power and recognize that he is not a powerful man. But maybe it could be there to help the audience realize that, you know what? Emotions actually do guide us in a way. His loyalty and his love for Duncan should be listened to in this case. We think that the treason he commits is a bad thing. No one thinks it's a good thing. So maybe that emotion needs to be listened to. Maybe we don't need to be ruthless and rational in life. Because for Macbeth, the emotional side of things just ruins him. Not only is he indecisive and paranoid at the start, his emotions play up again once he gains that power, and the ghost of Banquo haunts him, as well as his fear of Macduff when he hears the witches say, "Beware Macduff." So that message about being able to listen to our emotions sometimes could also be seen with Macduff, where Macduff, when he hears about his family being killed, he's obviously grief-stricken. "All my pretty chickens." You guys love that quote, apparently, because it's the only thing you quoted on the Malk exam. And when that happens, Malcolm is the one that seems a little bit overly emotional. He tells Macduff to dispute it like a man, and Macduff says that he will, but he also needs to feel it as a man. He needs to listen to his emotions, something that Macbeth doesn't actually do. He doesn't listen seriously to his emotions at the start of the play. He just worries about them and then jumps back onto what Lady Macbeth has convinced him to. He doesn't earnestly listen to his own emotions and his own conscience like Macduff. And in the end, that makes Macduff the hero because he was able to listen to his emotions and grieve for his family, get them out of the way, and then get revenge for Scotland by killing Macbeth. Macduff then is really, you know, the honorable, manly man. He's divisive in his action, but he's also listening to his emotions. And if you wanted to argue the point that he's the ideal masculine figure for Elizabethans, you could maybe also draw on the fact that he's not born of woman, that maybe that connects him a little bit more with the masculine side, making him the ideal man for not having to be born of woman. It's a bit of a stretch, but it's there. Another thing that can be talked about in regards to gender is its reversal in the play, because this whole play really is about reversal, and not only reversal of expectations, but reversal of fortune. And Lady Macbeth's reversal of her gender role is a pretty important part. So we all know that she talks about unsexing herself to be filled with the direst cruelty, getting rid of those feminine qualities that are meek and emotional and tender and caring, and replacing them with cruelty. She's not talking about not being a woman anymore. She just wants to get rid of those feminine qualities that Elizabethans thought women had. That can also be linked to the quote about taking her milk for gall. She says, "Take my milk for gall," meaning take the milk, the nourishing, gentle, kind, symbolic of feminine nourishing and care. Replace it with gall, which would be a bitter bile, similar to, you know, the idea of cruelty. Not necessarily taking the femininity out of her and replacing it with masculinity, but getting rid of the femininity so she can be cruel. Obviously, all of these things would shock the Elizabethan audience, and you want to be able to talk about the Shakespeare's effect on the Elizabethan audience, remember? But you could also link that back to the transgression of gender in the form of the witches. The fact that they have beards is maybe like a foreshadowing of the evil to come when Lady Macbeth tries to transgress and transcend from her own gender roles. If the witches are women that kind of blur the lines between men and women, they blur the lines for Macbeth and make him unaware of right action. They make him overly emotional. That can foreshadow what Lady Macbeth also does. She transgresses and transcends beyond the role of a woman, not only because she wants to become cruel, but also because she becomes sort of the head of the household, something that wouldn't have normally happened in Elizabethan era. They would have thought that men were the head of the household. And for transgressing her gender and becoming cruel and becoming the head of the household, she confuses Macbeth, makes him overly emotional, and their gender roles are swapped. He becomes the emotional one that follows what she says, and her the cruel, decisive, rational one. And as we see, what happens in the end of the play, they both suffer for it. Macbeth and Lady Macbeth die, Lady Macbeth by going insane, and Macbeth by a battle to Macduff. It's really interesting to note, though, too, that what Shakespeare does after Duncan is killed is reverse the gender roles back again. So Macbeth is this emotional, loyal person at the start, and his emotions get in the way, and he can't control them, and he can't really listen to them rationally. But after Duncan is killed, he becomes completely heartless. He doesn't even think twice about killing his best friend Banquo, and the same thing goes for when he kills Macduff. He doesn't think about it at all. He becomes completely cruel. He becomes completely like Lady Macbeth, whereas Lady Macbeth, she isn't told about Banquo being killed. She isn't told about Macduff and his family being killed, and is reverted back to the role of the traditional woman, having to, you know, sit in silence as the husband figure, Macbeth, does what he wants and leads the family. Now, you might want to think that maybe Shakespeare is trying to soothe the audience by getting them back to the expected gender roles, but when he does that, he makes Macbeth even worse. When Macbeth acts as a man and acts rationally and acts ambitiously and acts cruelly, he loses all of his nobility. So there's a recognition that you can be a man, but you need to be noble as well. That nobility and masculinity are not mutually exclusive. They can go together. The same thing what we learned from Macduff and how his emotions and his rational action can go together. Macbeth lacks both sides. Macbeth has fully emotions at the start where he can't control himself, he can't figure out what to do, and then he snaps over to the other side where he's overly cruel and, to the audience, a horrible figure for killing his best friend when, you know, without any regard, without any consideration. And Lady Macbeth, is her reversion back to, you know, the role of a woman can be seen in the fact that she becomes insane. The insanity could be symbolic of feminine emotions taking control and, you know, making her lose her mind. Another aspect of gender that could be talked about too is the fact that the tempting figures in this play are all women. Now, traditionally, in Christianity, women might be seen as symbolic of temptation or the ones that lead men to temptation. This comes, of course, from the story of Adam and Eve, where Eve is tricked by the devil and then gives Adam the apple of from the tree of knowledge, the forbidden fruit, as it's called. And for that, they are kicked out of Eden. So Lady Macbeth as a woman is symbolic just by being a woman, too. That Christian audiences might have recognized that and seen her as being an allegorical version of Eve from the Garden of Eden story. An allegory meaning a story that reflects the same meaning of another story. So I hope that this was helpful for talking about gender in Macbeth and Elizabethan era. Remember, if you really feel like you didn't catch all of it, listen over again or check it online. There's a lot of stuff if you Google, you know, Macbeth gender in Elizabethan era, you might find some helpful information to you. So, good luck. Revise. If you need any other requests, let us know, and we'll try to do them as quickly as possible because we know the exams are coming up. Bye-bye. Enjoy the sun.